You are now listening to Official Dom J Radio, episode 28. Go crazy, go crazy, go crazy. The Official Dom J Radio Show. However you're tuning in, whatever DSP you're listening to, I hope you're being blessed. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for liking the show, sharing the show, subscribing so you get that notification when it pops, that ding, that bell, you know what I'm saying? Thank you. Thank you kindly. On this episode, I'm diving right into it, man. Getting into the madness, into the swing of things, if you will. Completing my women's tournament challenge. I really had like no real idea because I don't watch a lot of college basketball, just being honest with you. But I feel like because it's March Madness, it really shouldn't matter that much, if I'm being honest, because the people that end up winning these things are like, you either got this crazy algorithmic method that you choose, or you're just picking a bunch of randomness. You like the names of the schools, you like the mascots of the school, or whatever, what have you. In the women's tournament, my final four ended up being Stanford versus UCLA and FGCU versus BYU. I had Stanford and FGCU in the final and had Stanford as your women's national champion. Who knows, it could happen. Stanford's a number one seed. Will the other seeds be the same? I have no idea. None. I've watched maybe 10 to 15 minutes of college basketball this season. I don't watch a lot of it. And if you don't, it's okay. That's not the entire show or the entire segment. Because I got some men's basketball too. I'm hitting you over the head with a two-piece, picking both. National champion, LSU Tigers. Of course, because they're in the tournament, I had to have them winning the whole thing. Had them doing it over Appalachian State in the Final Four and over Drexel in the national championship game. Because, yeah, I had Drexel as the opponent in the championship game there. So there you have it. My March Madness brackets making absolutely no sense because I don't watch the sport. But stay tuned for more after this brief message.
What's good, Official Dom J Radio listeners? It's your boy, Agent Jerry, stopping by to let you know, Dom, love the podcast, man.
Now in NBA news, the NBA is chugging along post All-Star break. They have the second half of the schedule out. They're back playing games, still having key players be out due to the coronavirus and COVID protocols, health and safety-wise. But other than that, the NBA is doing what it does and playing the games throughout the regular season. But in other actual relevant news, we had Vanessa Bryant revealing the names of the officers that allegedly shared helicopter crash scene pictures. As everyone knows, Vanessa Bryant is the widow of LA Lakers superstar Kobe Bryant, and she revealed portions of her lawsuit against the LA County Sheriff's and Fire Department in a bunch of Instagram posts earlier this week. She shared them with her basically 15 million followers of the officers that allegedly shared photos of the crash scene where obviously Kobe and 13-year-old daughter Gianna ended up dying. She shared her initial concern for the privacy of the crash site almost immediately with the sheriff that was on scene. Now, she did that, right? And despite assurances from the sheriff at the time, right, a subsequent investigation showed that one deputy took between 25 and 100 photos on his personal cell phone, including some focused solely on victims' remains. Now, that's some distasteful shit, if I have to be just blatant and bluntly honest about it. And they were quickly shared through text message and the AirDrop feature on iPhones to other deputies within the LA County Sheriff's Department that had, you guessed it, no connection to the investigation. So just imagine some of your little group chats or your little, you know, your text threads with friends and somebody, pops up with a bunch of images of dead body remains potentially from a helicopter crash that just happened and you're nowhere near the scene. Some really, really despicable shit, man, if I'm just being honest. But getting back to it, Vanessa Bryant, she highlighted the names of the officers who I'm not going to give too much time and attention to: Joey C., Raphael M., Michael R., Raul V., She put red markings on their names in the post. She won the case earlier this month against the sheriff's department just to have those names of the deputies released. Because again, man, you want to know who's leaking these sorts of photos, because you know that these people had the photos to begin with. The whole way that it ended up with TMZ being one of the first on scene reporting and having certain types of pictures, that's just what they do. But you know what it takes for sometimes TMZ to be able to do that? Somebody at the scene already had to have had those sorts of photos, man. So, you know, it's pretty nuts. Now you have the sheriff, Villanueva, that I mentioned earlier, saying, you know, they're going to try to refrain from trying the case in the media and, of course, waiting for the appropriate venue. Some classic cop speak right there. But, you know, you have some of these people that shared these unprompted pictures with others for no reasons other than morbid gossip, according to the suit. And I'm inclined to agree. I came to that conclusion in the same sense, bro. Why else would you be doing that beyond just some gossipy type of shit? And you're supposed to be a professional, a, you know, law-abiding citizen that's taking the law into their own hands and protecting and serving others. I don't think taking those pictures and then circulating them to people that are unrelated with the case altogether, not to mention that it's just a tragic incident altogether, I don't think that's within the scope of your responsibilities in your specific position. Now, the suit also alleges that several of the named officers made some false statements about their possession and knowledge about the crash photos during the LA Sheriff's Department investigation, which comes as no surprise to me. And there are literally no official purposes to view any of those photos that had been circulating, man. It was really just people being stupid people. I wish people would leave Vanessa Bryant alone. I hope that she can enjoy some solace and justice from being able to directly point at the specific people she know may have been involved circulating these photos. So I hope she continues to win her court cases. And I can only hope that the idiots involved end up getting some sort of ramification and justice of their own, man. Because again, I'm sure if the situation was anywhere near flipped or reversed, or, you know, there was something tragic happening to members of your family, you wouldn't want some of your constituents being there on sites taking and then circulating pictures of the incident, man. So that's really just some trash behavior that I really hope they get reprimanded, you know, convincingly for. And like I said, I hope Vanessa Bryant continues to get her justice and her due days in court.
This episode's spoken word selection is brought to you by the official Dom J WordPress page, The Invisible Eye, content created by DR Johnson. Up next on the official Dom J radio show.
CC, no speeding. Calm river waters. Move at no man's pace. How soon they forget. La Tortuga wins the race. CC, no speeding. Because Black History doesn't just happen during Black History Month, I wanted to make sure I highlighted some more Black excellence in today's show. That honor goes to LeBron James. Who? LeBron James. The 36-year-old Los Angeles Lakers superstar and PepsiCo announced a multi-year deal this past week where he's going to be the face of the soda giant's new Mountain Dew Rise energy drink. And that's big. Because if you know LeBron and you've seen any of his commercials, which I'm sure you have seen some, whether you are a basketball lover or not, he's had a nearly 18-year partnership with Coca-Cola where he endorsed Sprite and Powerade brands. One of the biggest commercials that I can think of that I've seen like year after year is the, you know, most wonderful time of the year commercial that he has for Sprite. PepsiCo declined to give specifics on the deal, but called it a multi-year partnership that will activate across other categories, including some snacks. They're going to work with several sports and wellness influencers. The brand plans to host virtual morning workouts at this month's South by Southwest Festival. The energy drink will be available in 16-ounce cans with 6 flavors. And he may eventually endorse Pepsi's flagship cola brand, said sources. And this is from Front Office Sports. And I think that's pretty cool, man. LeBron's had a busy week, and that's, you know, very significant. I'm all for a black man. Get your money, black man. And so I wanted to highlight that because he's a shifter. That leaves a hole in Coca-Cola, man, a sizable hole. If you don't have LeBron James, you got to plug in a combination of people most likely to replace what you were getting from his part of that portfolio. So it'll be interesting to see what Coca-Cola does moving forward there. But in possibly even bigger news, on the court, the man had a triple-double earlier this week. Then he decided, I'm going to have another triple-double. And on the same night of that back-to-back triple-double, it was announced that LeBron James was becoming part owner of the Boston Red Sox. Both he and agent Maverick Carter each joined Fenway Sports Group as partners, and they are the first and only black partners in the FSG Fenway Sports Group history. They've approved the $750 million investment from Red Bird Capital Partners, and of course the deal is pending MLB approval, which could be a matter of weeks. That's big news, man. I mean, because again, we're talking about history. He and Maverick are now the first and only black partners in Fenway Sports Group history. And again, man, in the sense of congratulating people in the moment, giving them their roses in due time, you got to respect the mogul that is LeBron James. Whether you think he's the greatest basketball player of all time or not, just the man's business acumen. Clearly he knows what he's doing. This brother is destined for greatness. He's reaching it, and I'm happy and here for it. More of it, baby. More of it. Thank you for listening to the official Dom J Radio Show. The channel features artistic originals, special guest features discussing education and culture, and my takes on the latest news and sports. Subscribe to Official Dom J on WordPress and YouTube for more. Getting into the NFL, one of the early free agent big playmakers has been the New England Patriots. They've been acquiring a lot of talent in free agency, aggressive early and often, as they signed Matthew Judon, linebacker Jonnu Smith, and Hunter Henry at the tight end spots, Nelson Aguilar at the wide receiver spot, Dietrich Wise at the defensive end spot, Jalen Mills at safety, Devon Godshaw at defensive tackle, Kendrick Bourne at wide receiver. Guaranteed money, they's giving it out, and they giving it out in a plenty. $137.5 million between those gentlemen, so congratulations to them on their bags, man. The Patriots also re-signed Cam Newton to a one-year deal, really looking like a vet deal, to be honest, and more not a starter deal, if we're being real about it, because the money is contingent upon the team making the playoffs, him being healthy and on the roster as a backup all year, or if he starts all games, he's getting bumps here and there. But at least for now, again, you know, I'm happy for Cam after that little incident with a kid trying to show off, talking about you a free agent and all of this and that, talking noise out of camp. I'm happy for Cam. I think him healthy in that system again another year with all of these weapons. He's better throwing the big body tight ends versus wide receivers anyway. Getting him some help at both of those positions to just make the offense that was anemic more explosive. Big deals there. So the Patriots could be one of those teams that is better. It'll be interesting to see if it all gels in just one year. But they are active and making moves. Bill Belichick must be a little angry seeing Tom Brady just waltz on down to Tampa and win that Super Bowl, man, because he's getting after it in the free agent market. In NFL news, we have some free agents still not signed, man. Juju Smith-Schuster, The Bucks wide receiver Chris Godwin got his franchise tender, so he's going back there. But I'm interested to see when more wide receivers are going to move. You had Galladay going to the Jaguars, who are building some nice little pieces. Got Carlos Hyde coming as well. They're building some pieces on defense, so should be not as terrible as 1-15. So congratulations, Jacksonville Jaguars. New Rams QB Matthew Stafford sports the new look uniform, which has a very old school feel to me, but I guess it's a new look. If you're Rams fans, are you excited about the look uniforms? I don't know. If I was giving them a grade, and about a seven and a half. They got some clean ones now. The white ones is pretty clean. In Broncos news, Phillip Lindsay is hitting free agency for all those Broncos country people out there after we signed running back Mike Boone. So I'm all for it. Running back is one of the most replaceable positions, if we're being honest, in football. So if he has to go, hey, Phillip Lindsay, rookie of the year, great running back breakout season, but he's had some nicks. And some nagging injuries here or there. So, wish that man the best of luck. Patriots safety Patrick Chung, who said he was going to play after not playing last year, is announcing his retirement. So, he's up out of here. That man is up out of here. Lions signed some irrelevant QB. Defensive end for the Giants. Can't even pronounce that man's name. So, I ain't even going to try and butcher that. The Bucs re-signed their kicker to a three-year deal. Cleveland Browns re-signed Rashard Higgins, one of the wide receivers who stepped up in Odell Beckham Jr.'s absence due to injury. Cornerback Patrick Peterson, LSU alum, agreed to a one-year deal with the Minnesota Vikings. $10 million deal there. He's leaving Arizona Cardinals as one of the best cornerbacks in franchise history. The Raiders are letting basically their entire offensive line go, and it was one of the best pass block win rate lines in this past season. They just traded their guard Gabe Jackson to the Seahawks. Maybe that'll help with some of the pressure issues Russell Wilson feels he's facing. A quarterback who seems unhappy, like we've talked about before, but I don't think he gets moved anytime soon. You had the Bears, who just signed Andy Dalton, making a little noise with their best available offer. But clearly, it wasn't enough to move the needle. So, Russ may be unhappy, but don't know if he's moved anytime soon. Watson, on the other hand, I'm on the Denver to Watson hype train. If you know me, you know I'm all for it. Hopefully, they get that man out of here sooner rather than later. It's just not happening. It's an irreplaceable relationship, and the man's already stated what he wants to be done. Now, on top of this, you throw in what's been happening to Watson this week, with some civil suits alleging some sorts of misconducts and whatnot. I'm not getting into the alleged details. The truth, again, shall come to light. That man's ready to take his reputation and defend it as a law-abiding citizen can in this country. So we will stay tuned for what comes of that. You have former Carolina Panthers wide receiver Curtis Samuel heading to the Washington football team on a three-year, $35 million deal. So that was one of the wide receivers I was waiting to see where they went. Because again, it's a nice crop. If you're looking for some additional playmakers on your team, some explosive people, Curtis Samuel's sort of the jack of all trades. Can give you that running from behind the line of scrimmage sort of boost that you need. And he's got some downfield speed. Jordan Lewis is re-signing with the Cowboys, so it's a cornerback off the market there. You had Ronald Darby signing with the Broncos on a three-year deal. Nice signing. Fills a big void again for Broncos country at the cornerback spot. Rams tight end Gerald Everett is signing with Seattle. So that's a good target for Russ to throw to on a one-year deal, $7 million. Kenny Galladay pursuing a potential visit with the Giants, so another wide receiver that I was interested to see if he ends up with the Giants. We shall find out in the coming days. So again, man, you have free agency. The Chiefs signing Tooney, a guard, to one of the highest paying contracts for a guard in history, if not the highest ever, I think. That's good for them, but they let both of their tackles go, so who knows how they get those replacements. I believe they had somebody who opted out last year coming back, so that may help with one tackle spot. Who knows if they look to move up in the draft to address the other spot. Who knows? We shall see. Colts are re-signing running back Marlon Mack, who had been injured signing him to a one-year deal. He's coming back from a torn Achilles that ended his season, but allowed Jonathan Taylor to have an explosive rookie season. So, should be a nice 1-2 balance there with the running backs. Like I was saying, Raiders traded their center Rodney Hudson. Again, trading away a great offensive line. The Raiders, not really sure what they're doing there. Rodney Hudson and a 7th round to the Cardinals for a 3rd round pick. Guess they didn't want to pay the $13 million, but by trading Mr. Hudson, they're paying $15 million out of pocket there. So who knows, man? Again, that's good for somebody in the NFC West. Already strong division, adding some talent, man. The Cardinals also got AJ Green from the Bengals, another weapon for Kyler Murray to throw to. And they got JJ Watt on defense, man. So the Cardinals could be a team, again, that barely missed the playoffs and that can get in next year from, you know, from Kyler taking that next step, from his coach doing a better job of game managing and not just calling plays for the offense with 4 and 5 outs. Who knows, man? As of this time, like I said, some of the best available free agents, because again, we're watching those who haven't moved: wide receiver Kenny Galladay, Juju Smith-Schuster, Will Fuller V, Desmond King, Trey Turner, Alejandro Villanueva, and Mitchell Schwartz. So we've had some movement in the NFL free agency. It's been nice. Teams are starting to shape up and give you a better idea of what they may be targeting in the draft. We'll have our draft breakdown in the coming episodes. I'll pick your first round selections of who I think could be good fits for all 32 teams that could pick in the first round and more. And there you have it, episode 28, Go Crazy, the official Dom J radio show. Thank you for listening. However you're listening, I thank you. Whatever DSP you're using, thank you. Thank you for liking, for sharing, subscribing, doing all that cool social media stuff. Be sure to stay tuned for the next episode as well. As always, in the meantime, in between time, y'all stay blessed. Drink plenty of water, get plenty of rest, and mind your business. Peace. Thank you.